Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, welcome. Welcome to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. My name is Sean Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us during our live session today. I'll tell you what, we've got a great show. We've got a guest that's going to talk with us from down in State College, Pennsylvania, about all of this that's going on with Penn State University and just what a tragedy it is. And, of course, we've got John Brannigan coming up, and we're going to join the Gary Snyder Show live right here on the Balance Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Deployments and sacrifice.
Promotions.
You spent your lifetime building toward retirement.
Retirement.
Now, you could lose it.
Right now, government leaders are making severe cuts to your military benefits. But just $17 makes you a member of the Military Officers Association of America, MOAA, and gives us more ammunition in the fight to protect the benefits you earn. Visit MOAA.org/yourvoice right now.
Hello, this is Jess Allenbaugh, and I consider myself blessed to have grown up and lived in this community my entire life. Grant County has always supported families and individuals who have faced hardships in their lives. Even in these difficult economic times, the people of Grant County continue to rally together to support those in need. Today, I would like to ask my Grant County friends and Indiana Wesleyan University family to generously support this year's Grant County United Way campaign. Don't put off until tomorrow what needs done today. Help make a difference in the lives of people right here in our own community by joining me in supporting the United Way here in Grant County.
21st Century Firearms,
the 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
This is Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
My whole Saturday, a Sunday too. I was thinking about ways not to lose. Lay down my weapons is what I've done. Too late to hide, feet too soft to run.
Hey, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. I am the aforementioned Gary Snyder. Before we get to our guests, now, if you paid attention here at any point lately, you know I need a new carpet for my house. And I did what every warm-blooded American would do. That's right. I went to the big home improvement box stores. But when I did this, I found something was missing. Then a service. And you know what I'm talking about, though. You really do. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylo, Shaw, but they also had that special something that was missing from those big home improvement box stores. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion. Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They would not have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. Give them a call, 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226. Ask for Todd. He'll get you hooked up with the free estimate. You can also visit them at laymanfloorcovering.com or just head on into their newly expanded store at 1940 Aetna Avenue, just up the road in Huntington. Now, if you cannot remember all that, all you have to do is remember the center of the sports and political universe, GaryLSnyder.com, where all of our sponsors are just a click away. All right, now joining us, co-host of the show, Tom Marquis. Tom, welcome, and I hear we have a special guest.
We are here, and so glad that you could join us here on the Balance Radio Network, coast to coast. It's always a pleasure to jump on board with the Gary Snyder Show and to simulcast on 1400 WBAT. It's just one thing, Gary. We got to get our clock synced. That's okay. It's all good. But joining us right now is Jeff Brown, and I tell you, he's from 97.1 The Bus in Pennsylvania. Are you in State College, Pennsylvania? Are you with us?
Yes, we are in State College, Pennsylvania.
Okay. I want to say the town wrong. You know what? When I first started following college football, I thought, is that the name of the town, or is that just – Where, is the town named after the college? Is the college named after the town? But anyway, it is a pleasure to meet Jeff Brown, who does the morning show there on 97.1 The Bus, and also teaches communications, as I understand it, there at Penn State University. A lot going on. Of course, we're coast to coast here, so if you could kind of just bring us up to speed. Obviously, we know the basics of us of it. There was a sex scandal revolving around Sandusky, but I think a lot of people get lost when it comes to understanding why they fired Joe Paterno, why the students are having riots there. What exactly is going on there in at Penn State?
Well, Todd, it's so strange that, first of all, this time last week, we were just our lazy little college town, and since Saturday, just the world has exploded. I mean, we've got the CNN here and ESPN, and they're all broadcasting live from various parts of the town. To kind of catch up on what's going on, Jerry Sandusky was the former defensive coordinator. He actually was the guy who created Linebacker U at Penn State. And he was also involved with a charitable organization that he started for at-risk kids called The Second Mile. And it came out last week that there's a 40-count indictment against Jerry for sexually abusing young boys. Most notably, the two that are really coming to the fore as far as Joe Paterno is concerned is, in 1998, Jerry had a young boy in the shower in the Penn State facilities. He took the boy home. The boy's mother noticed that his hair was wet, asked him what was going on. He told her that he had taken a shower with Jerry. Jerry had bear hugged him at one point. The mother obviously went a little crazy, called the cops. Jerry admitted to it, promised that it would never happen again. It was just all in good fun. And Joe Paterno was notified of that. Then in 2002, and there may have been things in between there, but the two that they're looking at is in 2002, and I'll try to keep this as family-friendly as possible, but a grad assistant, Mike McQuarrie, opened up the door of the shower room, the locker room, because he was there late at night picking up some tapes, noticed that he had the shower on and saw the light on, opened up the door and saw Jerry in the shower with a 10-year-old boy performing a sexual act with the boy. And McQuarrie shut the door, ran to his office, called his father because they lived in town. His father said, get out of the building. The next day, he and his father went to Joe Paterno and described what happened. And Joe Paterno, according to all the reports, went to his superior, Tim Curley, the athletic director, and Gary Schultz, who at the time was in charge of the campus police, told them, and allegedly they went and told Penn State President Graham Spanier what had happened. Now, in the time between 2002 and now, Jerry Sandusky has continued to use the Penn State facilities. In fact, he used the facilities to have Penn State sport, or have Second Mile sports camps and his own sports camps there until 2008. As recently as last week, he was working out in the weight room. And the sum and substance of it is, everyone wants to know, now that these 40 allegations have come out with the grand jury, how on earth he could have been allowed to do that, especially with Joe knowing what happened in 1998, getting the report from McQuarrie in 2002. You know, why wasn't Jerry banished? Why weren't the authorities called? After Mike McQuarrie told Joe Paterno what he saw, he was never questioned about it by anyone until the grand jury investigation in 2010. And so Jerry has been allowed to go on from here. We have 8 victims so far that have come forward. A 9th victim is about to come forward. Allegedly, there are at least 9 more that have called a special hotline to report that they, too, were had some sexual contact with Sandusky. So it's a mess, and it's a mess of the worst and most tragic proportions. And Joe Paterno, while he did, according to everyone, follow the letter of the law, got in trouble because he didn't follow the moral side of the law. He didn't follow up. He didn't protect these kids, and that's why he's in trouble. That's why Tim Curley and Gary Schultz have been indicted as well under the grand jury for perjury, among other things, and their trials will be coming up as well. So it's as I said, just a huge mess. But now that Joe stepped down because of this, because he's coming under fire. The national media has just been all over him. So is it very vicious. Joe retired effective at the end of the year, and the board of trustees last night from Penn State met, and they decided that Joe needed to relinquish his job now. And the students are very upset about that. About 2,000 of them were downtown last night. They caused some damage. They knocked over a TV truck and smashed the windows in it, basically destroyed it, before they dispersed about 1:30. So that's where we are right now. Although I do want to point out to everybody that the majority of Penn State students that I have talked to, that I've seen most social media from, are not on the side of the students who caused the damage. In fact, they're very embarrassed that these students went too far, caused damage, and brought further shame to Penn State.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing? You know, I've been following this, and I guess, you know, I really don't know where to go with this. I mean, you walk in on someone basically sodomizing a youth. There's no police called. You tell Joe Paterno no police called. You know, why is there no police involved in any of this?
It went as far as Penn State President Graham Spanier, who also lost his job last night by the Board of Trustees. That's what everybody's shaking their head about around here is, how could this possibly have happened? How can you, even McQuarrie's testimony to the grand jury is that he saw the child being sodomized. So the question is, how do you not run in there and take the child away? Or how do you, if you are under such shock, and we can give McQuarrie kind of the benefit of the doubt. Jerry Sandusky was kind of like an uncle to Mike. Mike grew up at State High, and Jerry coached him throughout his young years. And, of course, McQuarrie was a quarterback here at Penn State and worked with Jerry as well. So I can see where maybe a little shock came into mind, and maybe that's why he left. But after you have turned him in, a week, a month, whatever, and you see him still walking around and nothing legal has happened to him, how do you not go to the police? How does Joe Paterno, knowing the 1998 problems that were going on, get that report from McQuarrie and not go to the police? How does Gary Schultz, who is in charge of the campus police, receive a report like this and not at least start an investigation to see if this was actually true or not? None of it makes any sense. That's where the huge scandal and the huge black eye for Penn State is. And frankly, I don't think we've seen the end of this yet. I think there's going to be a lot more things coming out of this before we're done.
Now, Jeff, I totally agree. I think this is just the beginning of a very big freight train that is on its way. And it's sad because Joe Paterno is such a legend. I mean, he's right up there with some of the greats. And Gary, you and I were talking at lunch today a little bit about was it Lou Holtz that was on the board? And just one of the greats. He's up there with one of the greatest icon of college footballs of all time. And like you said, although he didn't do anything illegal, he basically turned the head and said, I don't want to deal with it, or whatever the reasoning was. And so I guess this is going to put a huge scar for a long, long time on Penn State.
Oh, absolutely.
Where do fans go from this point? I mean, what do fans, alumni, especially alumni, and more than anything, what do parents do when it's time, when they want to send their kids to good, bona fide organizations like that was supposed to do? And Gary, you told me that you thought maybe this might have been all along a front for child molestation and child porn. And if that comes out to be the case, I shudder to think on what the ramifications to Penn State's going to be. This so what's on the college's mind now? Are they just going to just start at the bottom and just basically, do a mass killing, metaphorically speaking, and say you're out, we're done, and basically try to separate themselves from the situation? But I don't know that they can, and especially, I'm no lawyer, especially the civil liabilities that I'm sure that are just lining up. I mean, this could demolish a school like Penn State.
It's going to be ugly. First of all, it has reached the federal level. The Department of Education has now gotten involved because Penn State could have violated a couple of very serious laws. And if that turns out to be true, and I'm not saying that it is, but if that turns out to be true, they could lose a ton of government funding. The lawsuits, it's going to be endless as far as the civil lawsuits are concerned. We do have reports of students withdrawing from the university because they don't want to be a part of it anymore. Obviously, you look at recruiting, you know, are athletes going to want to come here given this? So what they really, I think most people are saying is, as sad as they are that Joe is gone and as sad as they are that this is going to leave a huge blotch on his legacy, they realize that Joe had to go, and he had to go now. Did the Board of Trustees handle it very well? No, they didn't. But he had to go. Dr. Grant Spanier, the university president, had to go. Tim Curley is on administrative leave, but nobody really expects him to survive. As we said before, the finance and the guy in charge of the police had already retired, so he's out. And you take Joe out as well, and no one really knows what's going to happen with Mike McQuarrie. As of right now, he will be coaching the game, or the Board of Trustees has asked new head coach Tom Bradley to put him upstairs in the booth for his own safety instead of having him on the field. If you take all of those guys out of the equation, along with Jerry Sandusky, who's already under arrest, you've taken all the principals out, and you separated them from the university. And that's the first step that had to be taken, was get those guys away from the university, get them out of the picture. That way, if the media wants to pounce on them, they can pounce on them, and Penn State can start the rebuilding process. And that appears to be the direction that the board is taking.
Now, Jeff, when obviously this is turning into a snowball effect because there are reports out now that maybe Sandusky's foundation was a front for a child pedophile ring, basically pimping out children to big donors. We've seen Lou Holtz from ESPN put out a statement, basically, disavowing this organization as far as he possibly could. Do you see this? Do you see more coming from this? And have you heard these rumors?
I've heard the rumors, and I got to tell you, that one I think is more along the National Enquirer kind of thing. I've done a ton of work for Jerry's organization in the Second Mile over the years, and if indeed these charges against Jerry are true, obviously it's despicable. But I can tell you that the Second Mile organization itself has helped thousands and thousands of at-risk kids lead better lives, turn their lives around. It's a truly good organization. So, and I can tell you that, like I said, from firsthand experience, I've seen for myself, and I've heard testimony from kids at what the Second Mile has meant to them. And unfortunately, that organization is going to suffer greatly because of what Jerry had done with a handful of kids from the Second Mile. And of course, you get hung up in Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky and the terrible indictment charges and that, and you do forget about those poor kids, the eight victims, possibly nine, maybe even as many as 20 before all is said and done. I mean, those kids are kind of the forgotten thing. Everybody's gotten into this big furor about Joe Paterno, and there are kids whose lives and psyches were ruined because of this. And that's what breaks my heart is we tend to overlook that in going after the big fish, so to speak. But as far as the Second Mile is concerned, it's a wonderful organization, and I would be, even after all this stuff this week, I would be totally shocked if that particular report were true, because I just don't see that happening. It's helped too many kids and been a big part in turning around too many lives for something like that to be true.
Now, Jeff, I know that you're strapped for time, and we've got to get to the bottom of the hour break here. So we just got one final question for you here, Jeff, and I guess it's a multi-question that affects multi-people. Obviously, here in Indianapolis, our head coach, Jim Caldwell, is very much affiliated with the Penn State organization. NFL players are affiliated with Penn State. Obviously, right there is the Philadelphia Eagles. How's the NFL approach something like this?
Well, that's a good question. The thing is, and what we've been trying to stress to everybody here, because we've got a big game up against Nebraska coming up on Saturday, and it's also senior day, the final day that the seniors on the team are going to be able to play at Beaver Stadium and run out of that tunnel. And you know, what we're trying to do in the media here locally is to impress on people how important this game is to those seniors. There has been talk of boycotting the game, and that only hurts the seniors. None of these guys had anything to do with Jerry Sandusky or the second mile or this scandal or anything. So anybody turning their hatred or their protest or whatever toward them are completely misguided. So we're hoping that Penn State as a whole, and even students that have come to me and said, wow, is my degree worth less now? Well, no, it's not. The same excellent education that you get from Penn State is there. It's not tainted. It's not tarnished. You're still a valuable commodity in the job market. These players, their accomplishments this year are not tainted by this because they have nothing to do with it. So I think the NFL is not going to have to worry as far as that goes. I know a lot of players in the NFL, Paul Posluszny, Jack Ham, just to name a couple of them, have come right out and said, yes, they think Joe needed to go and needed to go when he did because of the situation. It doesn't mean that they don't love him, that he hasn't been a huge part of their lives, but they understand the situation. So I think the NFL will be able to separate the scandal and the shame of five or six people and their wrong decisions with the rest of the entire campus and organization and go on with business from there.
Well, hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining us today. Real quick, where can people find your work, Facebook, Twitter, websites, any of that good stuff?
You can actually check us out at www.thebus.net or 93.7 The Bus. We're actually going to be starting to stream in a couple of weeks from now. So we'll be able to hear it on there nationwide.
Thanks a lot, Jeff, and good luck.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bring in your...
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Boys and girls, welcome back to The Balance. It's the last Gary Snyder Show. Hey, I'm Tom Mark with El Presidente. So glad that you could join us. What a great, great guest that was to have with us and really kind of break down Jeff Brown from 97.1 The Bus. Local media is always the best people to talk to when you have situations like this sad situation out there at Penn State. And how this happened, it just totally baffles my mind. We'd love to hear your comments on www.thebalanceonline.com. Of course, Gary L. Snyder, show.com.
Or you could just, you know, follow us on Twitter or just, you know, follow the story. You know, what a sad time it was to see the fall of a dynasty like the Nittany Lions. And Jeff made a very good point. Let's separate what happened from Penn State, okay? This was not a Penn State thing. This was a not-for-profit organization for young boys that was created, ran, and founded by Sandusky, who obviously has turned out to be a very, very sick man. So let's be careful as to not to tarnish Penn State in the mix of it all. And I tell you what, it's just a sad situation whenever you see something like this happen, because it's not needed. It's just not needed. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just a situation to where, you know, this type of stuff happens. But, you know, a lot of times we turn a blind eye to it. You know, so when you're sending your kids off to these camps, make sure that you're asking questions when they come home. Questions that maybe would mean something to you, but it doesn't really mean anything to them. And you know, teach your kids it's okay to speak up when things like this happen. Hey, we do want to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. You want to give us a call and, you know, and talk to us a little bit about the Penn State football scandal. It's just, you know, a sad situation. We've got John Brannigan coming up here at the bottom of the hour when we catch back up with the Gary Snyder Show. You're listening to The Balance, Gary Snyder Show, right here on the Balance Radio Network, live across the nation on Blog Talk Radio. My name's Tom Marquis. So glad to have you along on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to Tom Marquis and the Balance Radio Network and John Brodigan with Brodigan, although I think something is actually bugging him today, so we'll find out in a minute. But Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Not a bad gig there. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many bean drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. Don't do it tonight. He's at home eating dinner right now. Do it in the morning. 866-397-2581, or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. If you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember when it comes down to it is GaryLSnyder.com. There you can find articles of interest, sporting news, future guests of the show, and you are always one click away from any of our sponsors. All right. Now joining us, Tom Marquis. Say hi.
Hello and good afternoon.
And also joining us today, John Brodigan. John, welcome.
How are you?
I am pretty pumped because I had some snow outside earlier.
Nice. We had some of that a couple weeks ago.
Obviously, we didn't get as much as you received, but hey, you know, the first couple flurries is always a big deal, as long as it doesn't come in feet like you guys got.
Yes, because, you know, whenever it starts to weather outside, people in New York have a habit of freaking out because they don't know how long they're going to go without, like, milk or eggs.
Don't forget bread. You got to have bread. You got to have stuff to make French toast if you get snowed in.
Yes. I do love myself some good French freedom toast, actually.
Really, you're going to go that route?
I'm nothing without a heck.
All right. And, you know, I will tell you this right now, John. I am already making plans for my junior's cheesecake. So,
you
need to deliver on that come May.
I did see
on Facebook and Twitter today, there are actually a couple things bugging you this week. So can we officially call this segment today, What's Bugging Brodigan?
I guess the biggest issue I have is I forget the coach's name, but the Penn State situation. I find that so disgusting. I don't even really want to, like, you know, do shtick.
You know, and we just had a guy on from Penn State University, and yeah, it's just I think there are a lot of people that need to be in jail over this.
You know, it's kind of like this thing, you know, like when you look at the Occupy Wall Street protests, and you could play the what if the Tea Party did a game and check the media reaction to it. When it comes to the sexual assaults, it just stops being funny anymore. And, you know, and in this case, in like, you know, the obvious joke, and I think people are making all day. It's like, well, I should have learned how to win football games because I can get away with doing anything. When you see people actually writing because they're upset this guy got fired for not disclosing that he knew kids were getting statutory raped. I mean, is that the
not only that, you know, it seems like they followed the letter of the football manual instead of the letter of the law. A guy walks in on a 10-year-old being sodomized. He doesn't stop the guy. How do you not stop that if you see it? And then he goes home, calls his dad, and goes tell the coach the next day. I mean, put yourself in that kid's shoes. And I heard this on one of the talk shows earlier. If you're that 10-year-old kid and that is happening to you and you hear that door open and you see someone there and you think you're going to be safe and that guy just turns around and walks out and leaves you there with a guy that is raping you.
You know,
it's just unbelievable.
Is,
you know, and no one called the police. No one called the police.
And even for the person to leave, it's like, you know, you walk into a room, you see a 10-year-old getting sodomized, and after the shock wears off, it's the decision is of, you know, do I start beating the crap out of the guy doing it? Do I get rid of the kid first? Do I bring the kid outside and then beat the crap out of the guy? I can understand, you know, the initial shock, not knowing what to do. One thing I do know not to do is leave the room.
Well, you know, here's my thoughts, Gary, on the whole thing. I'm glad we had Jeff on from over there at Penn State. There's a lot of this story I did not know the depth that Joe Paterno's knowledge was of this. I kind of thought maybe he just found out about it along with the rest of America, and they were just trying to clean house a little bit and keep from paying him a pension. That was my thoughts this afternoon. My thoughts have completely 100% changed. And, you know, I was in the military, and why I'm making that reference is that police are the same way. They look out for their own. But there comes a time when that is no longer acceptable. And that time came a long time ago for those young boys. And it's sickening. It nauseates me to hear the description that Jeff went through the reports that have been made. I mean, I was literally sitting in my chair here trying to keep my lunch down. That's how nauseating it is. So, you know, now that I know all this, I absolutely think Joe Paterno should have been fired. And the sad thing about it is, like I said, he's one of the greats.
Well, again, I think when everything is, I mean, this is just starting. There, you know, if there are only 8 or 9 kids now, there will be double to triple that before this is over, number one. Number two, anybody who knew, did nothing, and by did nothing, I mean did not call the police, needs to go to prison too over this. And, you know, I hope these victims, first of all, hopefully they're getting the help they need. Second of all, I hope they get every single penny they can squeeze out of this university.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I heard a comment made by one of the local shows about something that Penn State was going to offer up. And again, this is just something I understand that Penn State, from their point of view, from the business aspect, is saying, okay, this is what we want to do. But it's very upsetting to me that the college would say this to these young individuals. They basically are telling the families, you know, hey, when the dust clears, when it's all sifted out, they have a full ride. They can go to college for free. To Penn State? From Penn State? Seriously?
I would say a full ride to any college other than Penn State.
Harvard, maybe? Yale, maybe?
Trust me, that will be the least that Penn State will be paying out is full tuition at the college of these kids' choice.
And I guess what's even more disturbing, obviously we've heard stories like this before from other people. What's more disturbing is we trust individuals like Sandusky. We trust our preachers. We trust her. My wife's a school teacher. You know, we trust people like that. My wife talks to me about stories of things. She teaches inner city school here in Indianapolis. And just the things that people, the kids come to her and talk to her about things that are going on at home. And she, by the law, has to report things that were reported to her, even though sometimes they're false. That's where Joe Paterno should have done. What happened to
Let me just say this, Dom, before we go to a quick break here. Even if your wife had to go report it to the principal, you would expect the principal to call the police.
That's the law.
I mean, wouldn't you?
That's the law. I mean, that's the law. I mean, it's unbelievable. And like we said, this freight train, it's we're just hearing the horns. The train hasn't gone by yet. I believe that there's a lot more to this story to come.
All right, guys, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, I have the 53 seconds that brought down a presidential campaign right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Greetings. This is Mark Draves, the president and CEO of Carey Services. Throughout my 40-year professional career, I have been a fair share giver to the United Way. Each year, the employees of Carey Services rank in the top five total employee givers to the United Way across all Grant County employee groups. Why? Because we believe the United Way is the gold standard of charitable organizations. There is no more effective way to help our friends, neighbors, and family in their time of need than through the United Way. Let's all continue to live united.
Hey guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy?
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
All right, and welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Sal Marquis, El Presidente. Thursday afternoon at top of the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. Looking outside, and yes, Gary's right. We are seeing the first snow falls flicker here in Indianapolis. It's looks like rain, but it's snow, that kind of a sleet kind of mix. I knew it was going to happen. You go outside and you can just smell the cold air. And, you know, I think my no jacket boycott has come to an end. So I'm going to probably have to put on a jacket tomorrow before going to the office. I'm going to go out to my truck and freeze my buns off. I'll probably be one of those wimps that go out there, start it, and come running back inside here. You know, we're talking Brannigan a little bit about what's going on out there at Penn State University. And it's very, very sickening when you think about what happens. And you know, guys, here's what I would encourage you to do. Whenever you send your kids off to situations to where they're away from you and they come back, ask questions. Questions that maybe you know what you're asking and maybe they don't. You don't have to ask them direct questions, but know what's going on in your kid's life. And I think many, many times we just think that they're safe and they're not. So you know what? Just take the extra time when your kids come home and talk to them. We're going to be joining Gary Snyder live, 1400 WBAT, and Brannigan's going to be back in. Yeah, Gary's got the 55 seconds to bring down a presidential candidate.
So I am Gary Snyder. Now, before we get back to our guests, winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or visit them online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. And, of course, if you cannot remember that, I mean, hey, you got a lot going on, right? All you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. Check out the news of the day, stories of interest, political, sports, pop culture, And, of course, you're always a click away from any of our sponsors at GaryLSnyder.com. All right, guys, I think we need to shift gears. Let's move away from, I don't know, pedophilia. Let's move on to politics. How's that sound?
You know what's funny about the 57 seconds? I actually missed it last night because I was watching Lady Antebellum on the CMA Awards.
Well, let's do this right now. If you have not heard, Rick Perry's presidential campaign came crashing down in this 53-second clip.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
You need five.
Oh, five. Okay. So commerce, education, and the
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's stop getting it.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. The EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government.
Yes.
I would do away with the education, the
commerce.
Commerce. And let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry.
Oops. There you go, John. The 53 seconds that will, I don't know. How would you best describe it?
I would best describe it as, thank God I'm not a Rick Perry supporter.
And I was sitting there watching it, and I am by no means a Rick Perry supporter. But, boy, you had to feel for him as this was happening, just a little bit. His whole campaign, every time I see him, it just reminds me of someone on Saturday Night Live doing a very bad George Bush impersonation.
Which, ironically enough, he's going to be on Letterman tonight. He's going to be on The Daily Show. And it would not surprise me if he showed up on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Yeah, but I think when you're a presidential candidate, the old adage of all publicity is good publicity does not apply here.
No, it does not.
Tom, you want to chime in on this?
Well, here's the thing. I think I think Obama's loving this because now we're talking about Rick Perry, and we're not talking about him basically calling the Jews liars, and we're not talking about all of that stuff. All of that. Every mic's an open mic conversation. I think Obama's loving the fact that we're talking about Kane and his sexual affairs. I think here's the thing, guys. We're all human. We're all going to – you know, we're on the air sometimes and my brain freezes. I don't even know how – sometimes I'm like, what was I just going to say? You know, so I understand the humor in that and I get that. And I understand, you know, why it's important to talk about John Cain. But let's talk about the overall big picture. These guys are trying to get a position to run against Obama. It's time we start talking again about Obama and why he needs to be replaced, not about somebody forgetting the words they're going to say. That's what's bugging me. We're spending too much time.
Well, we had Pete Seed on a little bit earlier, the communications director for the Indiana State Republican Party and former White House spokesman. And, you know, he said at the end of the day, this whole process, what needs to happen is, A, obviously we need to choose a nominee. But it needs to be a nominee that can beat President Obama. And when you take a look at Rick Perry, that's not it. When you take a look at most of the Republican candidates up there, they don't qualify. And while Herman Cain has obviously raised a lot of money since all this stuff came out, and while he has not lost a significant amount of support yet in the polls, one poll that did come out was from Gallup that said, you know, if he goes up against President Obama, he loses and loses by a lot, and he has dropped in a matchup with President Obama significantly, and that's got to scare Republicans if you're thinking McCain's or if you're thinking Cain is the person.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? In a lot, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, yeah, but also, and here's the problem with, I mean, I agree, like, everyone makes mistakes. But the reason why we're talking about it is because their campaigns bundled things to, like, a ridiculous level. I mean, let's take a look at the Herman Cain accusations. He's being accused of sexual harassment on one woman who hired Gloria Allred to present to defend her, and even though she was allegedly sexually harassed in the late 90s, as late as 2 months ago, she was taking a picture next to Herman Cain with a big smile on her face. The other one, from what I was reading today, is donates money to the DNC, and this isn't the first time she's accused someone of harassment. With a competent campaign, that stuff should easily be able to be swept under the rug. The problem is Herman Cain doesn't have a competent campaign, and the reason why we're talking about it instead of talking about, say, the 9.1% unemployment or 9% unemployment is because any chance that the Herman Cain campaign or a competent campaign would have buried this story, they dropped the ball and brought it back up themselves. And the same thing goes with Rick Perry. If this was like the first time he had a lapse at a debate, then fine, he made a mistake. You laugh it off. But it's every debate with him. And I'm sorry. I mean, if you can't handle the joint press conferences with eight other people on stage, where you get all of maybe 20 minutes of speaking time total, you can't convince the American the independent voters, the American people, to vote for you when you won't be able to debate against the President of the United States, who's not a good debater in the first place.
Well, here's what I would love to see. And one, I'd love to see Cain on the ticket and Romney, because our economy is in such an issue. I think Mitt Romney is the guy for that. Second of all, if we have Cain on the ticket, well, let's just say one thing we won't hear. Well, they just don't want the black man in office, and we have two black men going. I mean, that's got to help us.
Okay.
Got to help us.
Well, let me interrupt here because we're running out of time. One thing you have to remember in all this, and while Gloria Allred showing her pie hole on TV and these other two women are iffy at best when it comes to credibility, you still have two women that were paid off because of the accusations. All right, real quick, John, where can people find your work?
JohnBrodigan.com.
That's it?
That's it. That's it this week.
I was hoping for a little more. I delegated
okay,
a little more time than just
JohnBrodigan.com. On FTRradio.com every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, Twitter.com/Brodigan. I will be appearing at the Cortland in Big Shore, New York tomorrow.
I think that'll do it. All right, Tom, go ahead.
www.thebalanceonline.com. I'll be appearing at the McDonald's at 46th and Keystone about 7:30 in the morning to get my sausage.
And I will actually be appearing at Walmart on 7:30 about 7:30 tonight. So there you go.
And our listeners here on the Balance Radio Network, stay tuned because coming up is hour number two. I believe Pete Seek and Abdul. We're going to replay that hour from 1400 WBAT.
All right. Thanks, guys. We want to thank all of our guests today and, of course, Rick Perry for being the butt of all of our jokes. IQ Al Rusuli, author of Lifting the Veil, Pete C. Abdul, Jeff Brown, and obviously Brodigan. Tune us back in tomorrow, Football Friday, here on the Gary Snyder Show as we preview all the weekend's college football on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
All right, thanks, Gary. Always a pleasure to simulcast over there on 1400 WBAT in Marion, Indiana. Hey, this is the Balance Radio Network. We are coast to coast. So glad that you could join us. And, you know, the political discussion is going to continue as we jump right into hour number two of the Gary Snyder Show, as heard on 1400 WBAT. So as you could tell, around about 6:35 Eastern, that's about 30 minutes from now, I will be back on the air as I was at 4:35. Oh, my goodness, so many time zones, so many things to say. And we're joining Abdul, obviously, talking about some local and national politics. This is the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back, and we'll see you tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, for the live portion of our show right here on the Balance Radio Network.
The worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More.
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 This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here watching the game, smoking some butt.
Are you all alone? What's up? What's up? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duke, pick up the phone.
Yo.
What's up?
What you doing, son?
Nothing. Just chilling. Killing.
True, true.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
What did you think of IQ? And I'll try to say his name. IQ Al Rusili, author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. Wow. I guess that's the best way I can describe it. My guess is those phone lines lighting up probably are for me. All right. We're going to waste no time getting to our next guest. He is a weekly guest here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. He is a former White House spokesperson. He is also the current communications guru for the Indiana State Republican Party. Pete Seat, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I've spent the majority of the day on the road. I was at the debate last night in Rochester, Michigan. Woke up bright and early this morning. Well, actually dark and early this morning. I did Chuck Todd's show on MSNBC from the debate venue at Oakland University. And then I've just been driving back to Indianapolis. Just got back to town a couple minutes ago.
So when are you going to hook me up with Chuck?
Chuck is a good guy. He's a good guy.
Well, hey, we had the debate last night, and I want to play you just what's becoming known as the 53 seconds, if you will. And, because it seems that is all anyone is talking about today here.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Give me five.
Oh, five,
yeah,
okay. So
five.
Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA, there you go. No, okay.
Let's stop. Let's stop.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government,
yes.
I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see.
You know, Pete, I'm sitting there watching this. Number one, first of all, I thought I was watching a bad Saturday Night Live skit. Number two, I'm not that big of a Rick Perry fan, but boy, I was twisting in my seat right along with him.
Yeah, you can't help but have some empathy for his situation. You know, we've all forgotten things. I would forget my own name if it didn't rhyme sometimes, Gary. So you feel for the guy, but the big but here is that about that hour and 15-minute mark in every debate that Rick Perry has been in, he implodes. And it held true last night, too. And he did need to have a good performance. It's been 3 weeks since the last time they all met on stage together, and he needed to have a good performance last night in order to maybe quell some of the fears amongst his supporters that his campaign was kind of falling by the wayside. And unfortunately, a moment like that doesn't help. But I will give Governor Perry and his team a lot of credit. And that is, unlike Herman Cain, they immediately went into crisis communications mode. And as I left the actual venue last night and I went over to the spin room where all the media were located, I crossed paths with Governor Perry because he was immediately on his way into the spin room to kind of, you know, do the mea culpa and say, yeah, I screwed up. I think his quote was, you know, good thing I'm wearing my boots because I stepped in it tonight. Then he did a round of all the morning TV shows. So he is owning up to the mistake and trying to make the best of it.
You know, and I think he's taken the right route with this and making light of himself. The self-deprecating humor, I think, is the perfect way to go with it.
Exactly. And I don't know if you've seen, but his campaign team has already put up a microsite where you can vote for which government agency you think should be cut. So they're really embracing this rather than shying away from what happened. And I think really in the end it's going to pay dividends for them, but it's still part of this narrative that he can't even get through a debate without a major slip-up like this.
Now, when we take a look at that debate performance, and boy, when you get on Twitter, when you get on Facebook, when you get on some of these social media sites, you know, they can be pretty brutal. And, you know, I've heard everything that he should drop out now, that he's done, you know, he doesn't have a prayer now. How do you see it?
He doesn't need to drop out, and nor is it in the, you know, he doesn't have a prayer category. Look, he's dropped really badly in the polls, as we all know. He was catapulted to the top before he even officially announced, stayed up there for a little bit, and then as soon as he started showing up to debates, it got worse. So he's kind of in a box now. He's cornered himself, where the only way he can really move that needle is to start putting some TV ads up, and he's got money to do that. But he's going to have difficulty raising additional money unless he can turn in a couple of good debate performances. And so he's boxed himself in, and this is why I'm sure his campaign wishes that they actually followed through on their threat to stop going to these debates when they said it a couple of weeks ago, because, you know, we see what happened.
Now, the other big moment of the debate last night, and at least the way it played out on television, when Herman Cain was asked, I think, twice about the sexual harassment accusations, I think the crowd actually started booing at one point. How did Herman Cain do in answering those questions last night?
I mean, he did a fine job in answering it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, television did not do the booing justice. It filled that entire room there was no mistaking how that audience felt about Maria Bartiromo asking the question. A fair question, mind you. But it was clear how they felt about it being asked of Herman Cain and then later, right away, Mitt Romney. I think he handled it fine. There's still a lot of questions out there, though, about this whole situation. And, you know, every time Herman Cain has talked about it, the story has been slightly different. But at the end of the day, he's not dropping in the polls. His people, you know, Herman, he keeps saying it, and it's true on paper, that Herman Cain supporters don't defect. And they're sticking with him, and they're the folks that gravitate towards his campaign that would support a Herman Cain already have a suspicion about the media. And this episode plays right into that, and I think that's why he's been able to keep them.
You know, and you mentioned the polls, and just, you know, Herman Cain put out a statement just a few minutes ago, or maybe it was a little earlier today, that he's raised $9 million since October 1. And number two, you mentioned the polls where, you know, at least in the Republican primary polls, he's still polling right up there with Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, a distant third. But I did see some polls coming out yesterday, I think they were Gallup, that when you match him up with President Obama now, he's just getting hammered. And, you know, that's got to start raising the concern to some people because the idea of the Republican primary is to choose someone who can beat President Obama. And right now, and again, we're a year off, Cain doesn't do that, especially with these allegations.
Absolutely. I mean, that $9 million number is astonishing. But to your point, yes. I mean, NBC, Wall Street Journal came out with a new poll earlier in the week, and 45% of respondents said they would probably vote for President Obama. 45. 42% said they would probably vote for the Republican nominee. 6% said it depends on who the Republican nominee is. So that's your margin. That's victory or defeat, is that 6% number. And so it all depends on who is picked. And we can argue all day long whether or not this field is cut out to get the job done. But, you know, the chances, the odds are, if you're betting, the odds are the person that's on that stage is going to be the nominee unless something crazy happens at the convention in August. But you got to pick, and that's why I think these debates are so crucial and so important, is to make sure that we do pick the right person.
Now I can tell you a certain family member of mine, I'm not going to mention names, but my wife, she is a big Ron Paul fan, and Ron Paul is her guy come hell or high water. But, you know, she has said, hey, and I'm just using her as an example here. If Herman Cain is the nominee, I will not vote for him.
And, you know, I think there are some people that have questions about his ability to perform the job. You know, he, more and more as this all unfolds, is reminding me of the Barack Obama 2008 campaign, which should not come as much of a shock. I mean, if you follow these things closely as we do, Mark Block, Herman Cain's campaign, has said that he is basing their strategy on the Obama 2008 strategy. He said it's right there, plus Obama's campaign manager's book, The Audacity to Win. So, but really, both of those campaigns, both Cain's campaign now and Obama's campaign then, were really predicated on the emotional appeal of their rhetoric and not necessarily the soundness or strength of their ideas. And I think that will eventually catch up to Herman Cain, and people will be concerned as to, hey, great, he says some really good things. He's got catchy lines and slogans, but can he do the job?
Well, hey, Pete, we have to take a quick break. Can you hold?
You got it.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Every year for the past 12 years, I've made a donation to the United Way of Grant County. Hello, this is Jennifer Lane Riefler, Executive Director of Cancer Services of Grant County, and I contribute to the United Way because of what United Way does for this community. We provide services to many agencies for all walks of life, for all age groups, and I believe in the United Way, and I believe in Cancer Services of Grant County and the rest of the organizations. Please give to the United Way. Thank you.
You can call it Trading Post, you can call it Tell and Sell, you can even call it Tradio. Most of all, you can call it Weekday Mornings on 1400 WBAT. Actually, we call it the Swap Shop. It's your free way to sell, buy, trade, and give away items, as well as promote rummage, yard, and garage sales. The Swap Shop is sponsored by Home Healthcare Associates. Call 662-1400 or email, fax, mail, or drop off your information for the Swap Shop on 1400 WBAT.
Hello, Marion sports fans. This is Giants basketball coach Billy Shepherd. We are so excited about the upcoming basketball season. Opening night is Wednesday, November 23rd, and I want to encourage all of you to purchase your season tickets at Marion High School. Great prices, lower level reserve seats, $55 for adults and $45 for students. We have 13 home games, and our young team will be looking for that home court advantage that you, the Marion fans, have provided in years past. Be a Giant and support the new era of Marion Giants basketball.
Whether it's sunny in Swayze or rainy in Radley, WBAT will make sure you know what the Grant County weather picture is. Hi, I'm Chris Daniels from Indiana's News Center. As the leaves and the temperatures fall, we'll be dealing with a variety of local weather conditions. Jason Myers and I are always ready to bring you up to date on issues with fog, slick road conditions, and yes, the distinct possibility of an early Indiana snow. Indiana's News Center in 1400 WBAT, a winning weather team.
This is the Gary Snyder Show, and I am Andrew Breitbart, sort of the king of all media.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to Pete, real quick, Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall. And all, you guys would probably take that out of the ad now. Plus, all of your snow removal needs this winter, including the Ariens snow throw snow blowers, Gravely Mowers, and of course, they're still one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. Or if you're actually doing the math, that is over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is, Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Give them a call, 260-489-3391. Visit them at their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road in Fort Wayne. Or just visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. Remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. And if you cannot remember that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. Take a visit. Not only are you a click away from all of our sponsors, it is literally the center of everything politics and sports in the state of Indiana. Over 10,000 of you a month visit it. Thank you. I'd say humbly, but, you know, not much humble here. All right. We are talking with Pete Seat, Communications Director of the Indiana State Republican Party. All right, Pete, there were a couple other people on the stage last night. I want to go to Mitt Romney first. You know, Mitt just kind of hangs back. He doesn't make any, I guess, big splash one way or another. I guess that's worked for him up to now. And, you know, I will point out that my wife did say last night that maybe he looks normal. He doesn't look all GQ or all dapper, I guess, as he usually does. Did you get that sense in being there live?
Well, yeah, it sounds like their strategy is working then, if she picked up on that. But, you know, it's another debate and another solid performance for Mitt Romney. It's clear that he's experienced at this, and he can get through a debate without gaffes. And, you know, I think his best moment last night was when Maria Bartiromo tried to pin him on, you know, not mentioning the word housing in his 59-point economic plan, and he just shot back. It wasn't a housing plan; it was a jobs plan. So he's well versed in debates, and you know, he still has a ceiling, as we've seen in polls. He can't break through that, you know, 23, 24, 25 ceiling, perhaps until one or two or three people drop out. But, you know, just another solid performance, and he's plugging along.
So my wife was not seeing things, because I told her she was just imagining things. But apparently my wife was right again, as usual.
No. It's part of their strategy. And you'll note, too, that he started talking about his family and his wife and how long they've been married, even though he kind of had a little bit of a slip up there remembering how long he had been married. But which is uncharacteristic of Mitt Romney, which is why there's no focus on that. But on Rick Perry, it's become the norm, and so everyone focuses on it for him to slip up like that. But they're trying to humanize the Mitt Romney name and brand, as opposed to, you know, the robot stiff guy that didn't connect with folks that he was perceived to be in 2008.
You know, I got the perfect way for Mitt Romney to loosen up a little bit. Any guesses? Come right on my show.
Come on your show. There you go.
All right. I guess the other person we need to talk about in this conversation is Newt Gingrich. Again, just steady. I thought probably the best debate performance again, but... you know, he seems to have plateaued at that 12 to 15%, and it seems that percentage of people are the only voters that are going to look past that baggage that he carries.
Well, look, too, it's interesting the way these debates work, and, you know, we've talked about this before, and how the stage setup is done based on polls. And they're standing in a national poll. So last night's setup was based on this last NBC Wall Street Journal poll that came out earlier in the week. And since Newt Gingrich is moving up in the polls, he's closer to the center of the stage. Therefore, he gets more questions. And he can present himself in a better light and perhaps get more support. Folks on the ends, like a Huntsman and a Santorum, they don't get as much time to talk, so it's kind of hard for them to move up in the polls. So I think, you know, Newt, yeah, he's got the baggage, but it really hasn't come out. A lot of it is old news. Just like, you know, the King campaign, for better or worse, the stuff has come out. And, you know, fact or not fact, we don't know. But whatever it is, it's better that it comes out now during a primary than if he were to become the nominee and it comes out during a general election campaign and Team Obama just destroys him with it.
All right, Pete, portion of the interview, anything you wanted to cover that maybe I did not ask you?
Not about last night. I mean, I think we covered it pretty well. I mean, I'll say this about last night's debate, though. I think it was the best debate overall. I think CNBC did a great job focusing on jobs, economy, taxes, et cetera, really focusing on the issues and not getting sidetracked by the circus and the sideshows like some of the other debates have been. I think they did a great job, and they deserve credit for that.
All right, Pete, time flies when we're having fun here, so give us some places where people can find you.
Yeah, best thing, INDGOP.org, or, of course, Twitter.com/INDGOP. Mine is Twitter.com/PeteSeat. Look us up. Keep in touch.
Thanks a lot, Pete, and have a great weekend.
You too. Talk to you later.
Pete Seat, Communications Director for the Indiana State Republican Party. All right, before we go to break here, I need to remind you, winter is rapidly approaching. All you have to do is look outside right now. And time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central Indiana, North Central, and East Central Indiana. Call them now, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or go online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. Want to thank Pete Seat. When we come back, Tom Marquis, Abdul, right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
The Chronicle Tribune is the newspaper for me, Grant County's leader in providing local news, sports, and entertainment. I turn to the Chronicle to get all the latest local information, coupons, classifieds, and more. Take my advice. Subscribe today. Give them a call at 664-5111 or check out their new and improved website at chronicle-tribune.com. C-H-R-O-N-I-C-L-E. Yeah! The Chronicle Tribune is the newspaper for me.
Invest in your future and enjoy easier shopping for coins, gold and silver bars, bullion, and more at the new Silvertown.com. Silvertown's new and improved website features faster searching and a better buying experience. You'll discover that Silvertown truly is the market leader for modern coins, silver American Eagles, gold American Eagles, world coins, modern commemoratives, and more on the new Silvertown.com. Silvertown introduces two new half-ounce silver medallions. For the first time ever, a half-ounce Buffalo replica silver round, and back for the first time in over a decade, the half-ounce St. Gaudens replica. These medallions are offered on the website at a special internet price, so take advantage of this incredible pricing today. Shop the new Silvertown.com anytime, 24 hours a day, or stop by Silvertown in Winchester, weekdays from 9 to 5, and Saturdays from 9 to 4, on Union City Pike across from Winchester High School. Check them out on Facebook. Invest in your future today at Silvertown.
Future you can hold.
Get your holiday groove on with a wonderful series of events coming to Marion. Don't miss the Christmas City Parade on Saturday, November 19th. The Walkway of Lights opens that weekend and runs through December 31st. Bring your friends and family out for one of Marion's real treasures. And on November 28th, don't miss the Christmas City Chorus presenting a Victorian Caroling Christmas at the Shiloh Conference Center. Happy holidays! This message is brought to you by the Grant County Convention and Visitors Bureau.
If you're a man over 40, you may feel like half the man you used to be. After 40, your body's testosterone level may start to drop, but there is something you can do. Call for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy normal levels. Call now to try Ageless Male risk-free. Just call 1-800-784-8930. That's 1-800-784-8930. Call 1-800-784-8930.
We all know how serious Ed Breen can be, but we see the fun side of Mr. Ed.
Just a little silliness today for a change.
And you can too by listening weekday mornings to 1400 WBAT's Good Morning Grant County. In fact, Ed's looking forward to a lot of enjoyment in his next career, too.
Play shortstop for the Cubs.
Maybe even lead them to that elusive World Series crown.
Worth a million.
Ed Breen and the Good Morning Grant County team. The good, the bad, and definitely the ugly on 1400 WBAT.
Bringing local news to Swayze, Amboy, and all of Grant County. We are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. Howard County is moving forward with a plan to consolidate the county's townships from 11 down to 5. The group wants to send the proposal to voters as a referendum in November of 2012, and if approved, it could take effect as early as 2015. The Township Consolidation Committee voted to move forward with the plan, which would consolidate townships along school corporation boundaries. Under the plan, Center and Taylor townships would remain unchanged because each township is a school corporation of its own. Harrison, Honey Creek, and Monroe townships would consolidate under the Western School District. Clay, Irvin, and Howard townships would merge under the Northwestern boundaries. And Liberty, Jackson, and Union townships would consolidate along the Eastern School Corporation boundaries. And the speed limit on Old State Road 9 between Tipton Street and U.S. 24 in Huntington County will soon be reduced. From Tipton Street to Mishler Road, the speed limit will be reduced to 45 miles an hour. And from Mishler to U.S. 24, it will be reduced to 50 miles an hour. Currently, because there are no signs posted, the speed limit is assumed to be 55 miles an hour. North of U.S. 24 on State Road 9, the speed limit will remain 55 miles an hour. The changes stem from the Indiana Department of Transportation's decision to reduce the speed limit at the intersection of U.S. 24 and State Road 9. The concerns of a nearby landowner prompted the reduction. And it appears as if state fair officials are taking no chances as they announced today that they will move all large concerts for next year's state fair to Conseco Fieldhouse. This past summer, a temporary stage collapsed during the Sugarland concert, killing 7 fans and injuring more than 40 people. Concert tickets will include admission to the fair. From the 1400 WBAT Newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of today, becoming cloudy and windy with a chance of showers or snow flurries, highs around 43. Tonight, partly cloudy, windy and cold, lows around 30. Tomorrow, Veterans Day, partly cloudy, breezy and cool, highs near 50. Tomorrow night, clear and cold, lows around 34 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Hello, this is Governor Mike Huckabee, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
This morning, smile with the rising sun. Three little birds sit by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true. Singing,
this is my message to you.
Singing, don't worry about a thing.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show, 1400 WBAT. Having just a few minor glitches, but hey, real quick message, and we'll be right back with you here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
Alright, hopefully we got things worked out here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. You heard the Anytime Fitness ad. A few things to remember here. Number one, Anytime Fitness, Marion. Less than $1 a day gets you a one-year membership. Number two, with that one-year membership, mention the Gary Snyder Show. Me, don't even have to do it in a good way. And 2 free months on top of that one-year membership.
Number three, Anytime Fitness Marion, next to Marsh North. You can use that Anytime Fitness membership at any Anytime Fitness across the U.S. And finally, Anytime Fitness, open 24/7. Work out on your schedule, not the gyms. Hopefully, if everything went well here, we have Tom Marquis with us. Tom, say hi.
Good afternoon. You do have me. I am here, present and accounted for.
So far, so good. Now, we also should have Abdul. Welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
You don't know how good, trust me. All right, Abdul. We had some elections this week. Let's cover, I guess, what happened down in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. Maybe touch on Marion here and maybe a little bit on, in Huntington. But Greg Ballard wins a second term down in Indianapolis. I think the spread was maybe a little more than what people thought for Greg. Break down what happened down there for us.
Well, basically, it's interesting because there are two storylines here. Greg Ballard won the mayor's race. Indianapolis, you know, Marion County, very Democratic-leaning county, delivered for Barack Obama. Democrats swept, you know, basically every open seat for the first time in 2010. And also, if you look at the numbers here, which I have here on my iPad, check this out. We had 181,000 people come out and vote, so about a 30% voter turnout. Not great in the midterm, usually 36%. Last time around, it was 27%. And we had about 61,000 straight-ticket Democrat voters, 49,000 straight-ticket Republican voters. So basically 54-44 was the breakdown. So Democrats walked into the 2011 race with an 11-point lead. Greg Ballard beat Melinda Kennedy 51-47, basically by 8,000 votes. So think about this. In a Democratic-leaning city that delivered for Barack Obama in 2008, Democrats swept like crazy in 2010, and Democrats walked in to the ballots with an 11-point lead. Greg Ballard, with 11,000-vote lead, Greg Ballard beats Melinda Kennedy by 8,000 votes. That, to me, is the big storyline out of the mayor's race in Indianapolis, and it shows that Republicans can win in cities, in urban environments, if you run the right kind of candidate and you talk about the right kind of issues.
Well, and I'll ask one more question before we let Tom get to you, because we had Brian Howie on a little bit earlier in the week, and he basically said, you know, if Greg Ballard wins this, you know, based on the demographics of the Indianapolis area, he may be the last or one of the last Republican mayors of Indianapolis.
You see, I take a little bit of a different approach from that, because I spend a lot of time on the ground dealing with people here in the city, although they actually been calling you from up north in Carmel. The part of the way the mayor won was appealing to those, you know, they had a couple different things take place, one of which was the African-American vote, because Democrats had done everything humanly possible to get out the African-American vote. They brought people down on church buses for two Sundays in a row. They had, campaign advertising, basically, the mayor being a racist, both on the radio and television. They had some very prominent ministers come out against the mayor of Indianapolis. So they basically did the stuff that you're supposed to do. However, and what a lot of people don't take into account, is there are a lot of smaller churches in the city and have a much broader network. And a lot of those ministers, those community leaders and business people, they liked the job that the mayor was doing, because he'd been taking care and addressing neighborhoods that had been neglected, since Ronald Reagan, was president 30 years ago. And when you see your streets fixed, when you see your sidewalks taken care of, and the mayor went out to spend a lot of Sundays in a lot of black churches engaging people and meeting with people, sometimes two and three at a time is what he did, people remember that. And they see the mayor, they see your streets and sidewalks, there's no real Republican or Democratic way to run a city. They had that appeal, and they got out and did what they were supposed to do. And that's how Greg Ballard got those 8,000 extra votes. Now, was it, some 55-45 landslide? No. But in politics, what it takes to win? It takes one vote. And he got 8,000 of them. So there is a formula, and there is a path for victory for Republicans to win countywide. You just have to remember you are running in the city, and city issues are not the same as they are, you know, in Hamilton County suburbia or, you know, more rural areas, you know, like Delaware County.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, Abdul, obviously, it's good to talk with you, and I caught up with you at Greg's party the other night. You know, we talked pretty much about the same thing here, that the African-American vote really got out a lot stronger for Greg Ballard than Melinda Kennedy had expected and was hoping for. And her negative campaigns appealed directly to the African-American vote. And you mentioned something interesting to me in contrast. The black preachers, bishops and what have you inside the black churches, the African-American community takes a lot of stock in what their pastor tells them and what their business leaders and what their community leaders tell them. A lot of times it's quite the opposite effect with the white vote, with the white upper income vote, which obviously is a big supporter of Greg Ballard. How does a candidate find that happy balance, that happy medium, where just did it do exactly what Greg Ballard did, and that was, you know, appeal to the African-American votes through the bishops and the pastors of their churches, and appeal to, you know, the upper income white family through things that are sensitive to them?
Well, what the mayor did was, and it's a rather simple strategy. It's, you know, it's the old line, good government is good politics. And what the mayor did was, you know, you go into those places that have been neglected and, ironically enough, democratically controlled. You know, you go in places and you address people's needs. Because at the end of the day, you know, an upper-income, you know, white person from Hamilton County really doesn't have all that much different in common than, you know, somebody from the urban core. You know, what do people want? You know, they want their roads paved. They want their trash picked up. They want the criminals put behind bars. And they want, you know, safe neighborhoods for their kids to play in. No, those are very universal themes. Now, we may take a little bit of a different delivery system, you know, to get that message out there, but fundamentally, it's still the same. And so whether it's, you know, folks in Guice, which is much more affluent area here in Indianapolis, or the urban core, or, you know, maybe someplace on the near southeast side of town, more, you know, white, less income, socioeconomic challenge, you know, the message is still the same. We're taking care of your neighborhoods. We're doing the job that needs to be done, and, you know, we appreciate your support in November.
Well, when we take a look at some of the other races across the state, and I'm going to, I guess, focus up here in our area, the Huntington, Marion, Fort Wayne area. Marion Wayne Siebel wins a third term. But with that being said, he won it by his closest margin yet. And number two, you know, the Democrats took control of the city council. Up in Fort Wayne, Mayor Tom Henry, as I predicted, would win. Beat Paula Hughes by about 4%. But the Republicans increased their majority on the city council there. You know, what do you take away from these elections?
Here's one of the things that I'd always remind people, in particular, Gary, about local races. At the end of the day, local races aren't necessarily Republican or Democrat. Local races are more about performance and how people feel about the individuals that are getting stuff done. You know, I always argue that the city level Republican and Democratic labels are like, you know, Heinz ketchup and Hunt's ketchup, or in the case of Indiana, red gold ketchup. You know, at the end of the day, it's still ketchup. There's no Democratic way to snowplow. There's no Republican way to pick up trash. Either you get it done or you don't get it done. For example, here in Indianapolis, we had some Republicans win in some very heavily Democratic-leaning districts. You know why? Because guess what? They just gave good constituent service. Where my wife and I are in town, you know, it's a Democratic-leaning area, but we had a Republican win because she got out, she would work, she'd knock on doors, and as a counselor, she held town hall meetings, kept people engaged and informed. So a situation like in Fort Wayne where you have a Democrat win but Republicans pick up council seats, that tells me more. You know, it's about individual performance than it is about party performance.
Tom?
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%, Abdul. And we talked a little bit about this on Tuesday as well, and that's Mike Pence's race for the governor. What do you think about that? And what do you think about him giving up a congressional seat to do that?
A couple things about Pence for governor. I would I would not take it as gospel that because Republicans won, you know, for the first time in a while had a majority of the mayoral seats, means necessarily that Indiana is going to go Republican in next year, well, less than a year from now. You know, it's a nice sign, but, you know, it's almost sort of like spelling bee ribbons. You know, they're great to put on the wall, but they don't necessarily win you anything. What I do think is going to be crucial for Mike is to focus on jobs, you know, is focus on the economy so that Indiana stays in a good shape so when the national economy recovers, you know, Indiana can jump to the front of the line. I would also argue and maintain that probably, you know, after the primary, you know, Pence might want to think about giving up his 6th district congressional seat, primarily because for every vote that you miss, you know, in Congress is another campaign commercial that John Gregg, you know, is probably going to use should Mr. Pence become, you know, the nominee. Because I can see the commercial right now. You know, while Mike Pence was campaigning for governor, crucial, you know, business, you know, in the Congress was being done. And, you know, there's a seat with the empty chair and, you know, you call the roll, Mr. Pence. So now I do know also that, Mike has told the staff people, you know, we have two goals. You know, do our job and run for governor. Now, you folks figure out how to make it happen. And one of my colleagues of mine who works for Pence's campaign was still kind of sweating about how exactly to do that. So, yeah, I think he's going to try to hold on to his seat for as long as he can, but I don't think necessarily he'll be able to do it, you know, too long if John Gregg is free to run around the state of Indiana.
Well, hey, first of all, Chris Crabtree needs to be sweating. Number two... Number two, let's talk a little bit about the debate last night, and we'll just call it the 53 seconds of Rick Perry hell. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to play Rick Perry's comments, which is what I thought the pause was.
No, that's just an awkward radio silence of me doing a poor job of hosting.
No, not at all. No, I thought the Rick Perry thing was interesting. First of all, had Rick Perry not had the mistakes that he's made earlier, I don't think we'd even be having this discussion right now. But the fact that he did, the fact that he's going on one of the, you know, I think he's going on David Letterman tonight to explain, you know, exactly what happened. You know the brain freeze. Of course, I argue for your brain to freeze, you actually have to have a brain. To begin with, so I thought that was a little bit more of an oxymoron. You know, I think it just shows, you know, the problems that Rick Perry's having as an individual and as a candidate, you know, getting traction, and you just can't, you know, break that mold that, you know, okay, you're governor of Texas, fine, but you're still not very bright because you just can't quite, you know, get your act together.
And it just seems like anytime he gets in trouble, he just kind of looks at the camera and yells, Texas! That's his answer for everything, but when you took a look at last night's performance, you know, I almost felt sorry for the guy for about 3 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, and the problem is, you know, if this was the first time that this had happened, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Oh, you know, Rick Perry had a senior moment, and, you know, we move on. Because, you know, in debates, there's lots of things going on. You got your mind racing and, you know, a million things running through your head. You know, that I totally, completely understand that. You know, the problem this time around was, you know, plain and simple, that, you know, Rick Perry is Rick Perry, and there's just something about presidents from Texas that, you know, kind of make people nervous. And, you know, two examples, Iraq and Vietnam.
Tom, anything?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of work to be done. I think Perry's lapse opened up the door for Newt Gingrich a little bit. But really, another question that I know we're bouncing back between national and federal or whatever in state. I had an opportunity to speak with Brian Bosma, Brent Waltz, Mike Speedy, and, you know, a couple other people in the House on Tuesday night out at the at Greg Ballard's party, and just basically asked them how they felt about getting some work done this year, especially concerning everything that happened last session. And this comes from Brian Bosma. He basically says, I think we'll be okay, but I still have that fear in the back of my mind that we may have some issues at the beginning of the session. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that very last thing that Tom said. I had an airplane flying over my head, believe it or not.
I said, Brian Bosma, I was talking to Brian Bosma. I said, Brian, do you think that you guys are going to be able to get some work done this session? He says, well, I certainly hope so, but there is that fear in the back of my mind of what happened at the beginning of the session last time. Is all those issues completely resolved? And he says, if that's what you're asking me, the answer is no. So I'm asking you, do you think that the state has to worry about a particular party not showing up for work when the session opens up?
I think that's a possibility. I don't think the Democrats have fully mapped out their strategy because of the anti-bolting statute. If they leave for more than 3 days unexcused, they can be fined. The trick is, though, you can either, A, not show up and deny a quorum. Then you can say, well, the anti-bolting statute doesn't count because, you know, we never showed up. I mean, I can't be late to a party if I never come to the party. The other thing, too, that I'm hearing as a possibility is what they may do what's called a rolling walkout. In other words, the law says if you're gone for 3 days unexcused, you know, you're fine. So the Democrats decide to be gone for 2 days and then come back on the third day. See what I mean? And that way you sort of gum up the works and you just keep doing it every week over and over and over again. And so you eventually slow the process down. Now, what makes it a little tricky this time around is the fact we're having a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. You know, like that first or second week of February where everybody has to be gone and kind of get out of town. So that sort of complicates matters a little bit. But if I think the Democrats are smart, you know, they won't leave because why give the Republicans a campaign issue?
All right, Abdul, we're running out of time. Real quick, where can people find your work? All that other good stuff, Twitter, Facebook, stalkers, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can always find my work at IndyPolitics, IndyPolitics.org. Even though we talk about Indianapolis, we focus on major things going on in and around the state of Indiana. And if you want the latest gossip and rumor before anybody gets it, pick up a copy of the cheat sheet. You can subscribe right there on my website. And I've actually got something pretty interesting about that race up there in Marion. So feel free to subscribe.
And, keep in mind, Jack Abramoff on Tuesday.
Will do. I will call you this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Abdul. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
We all know how serious Ed Breen can be, but we see the fun side of Mr. Ed.
Just a little silliness today for a change.
And you can, too, by listening weekday mornings to 1400 WBAT's Good Morning Grant County. In fact, Ed's looking forward to a lot of enjoyment in his next career, too.
Play shortstop for the Cubs.
Maybe even lead them to that elusive World Series crown.
Worth a million.
Ed Breen and the Good Morning Grant County team. The good, the bad, and definitely the ugly on 1400 WBAT.
Danny Hope, the head football coach at Purdue, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Another man's arms holding you tight. Nobody knows what I feel inside. All I know is I want to win pride. I got my dream.
All right, welcome back to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. I want to thank our guests that hour. If you've forgotten already, join the club. No, I haven't. Pete Zink, former White House spokesman, current communications director for the Indiana State Republican Party. Thanks for joining us. Also, Akeem Abdul-Shabazz, publisher of IndyPolitics.org, and Tom Marquis, our guest that hour. Coming up, Jeff Brown, host of 97.1, The Bus, out of State College, PA. He's going to talk a little bit of Joe Paul for us. And then Brodigan, what's bugging him, here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.